Blog Talk Radio.
Happened on the board at the home office, and we were not able to get online. So for those of you listeners, and I want to really say at the start of the program, thank you. I just checked the numbers. We are at 247,719 worldwide listeners, and I just can't say how proud I am to be able to bring this program forward from its infancy for my son. Ty and Zito have been here since his demise, and they've helped us make this thing grow. And I can't say enough about these guys and their knowledge about football. I'm sorry, about the boxing and football and every other thing. And guys, again, thank you.
Which is definitely our pleasure.
Let's get started here. We have the Reverend Edward Cherry coming on at 6:15, and he's got some big news. He's got a new management, new trainer, and he's got a couple fights lined up already. So he's gonna let everybody know about that. We also want to send our deepest regrets out to a good friend, Dan Birmingham, the well-known trainer and boxer. His dad, Joe, passed away yesterday. Dan, our thoughts are with you. Dan has been the leading trainer for Winky Wright, for Edner at one point, for a lot of boxers out of the Florida area, and some national boxers, AK-47, Danny Batchelder. I can go on naming thousands of guys that Dan has helped, and he is a truly a good friend. The other one, we did lose a boxer this week. Where's it here? I got it. I will get to that at some point in the show. So, guys, tell me how things are going up there.
Things are going pretty well. Things are going pretty well. I think the big news out of this week, and it's been this is a slow time of year for boxing. We had a tremendous, tremendous 2013. We really ended 2013 with the biggest card. Towards the end of 2013, the biggest card at the end of the year was the Adrian Broner Marcus Medalla card. Initial news from that card after Adrian Broner's loss was that there was no rematch clause. It's just been discovered that there is a rematch clause, and Adrian Broner has wished to exercise it, and that fight looks like it will be made sometime for April. Marcos Medalla's team, slightly disappointed because they were in the Floyd Mayweather sweepstakes, and that's what they wished. But what we have to remember is Marcos Medalla also has as his advisor one Al Haymon, who was also Adrian Broner's advisor. So that's a fight that can be relatively easy made. And it wouldn't surprise me if there was no rematch clause, but this is something that Golden Boy and Al Haymon are cooking up because they've already seen that Floyd is looking to possibly move in another direction with Amir Khan, and this would be the most lucrative fight for Marcos Medalla.
Yeah, Adrian, I think the latest thing I saw on that is they're trying to get something for around the 25th of April.
Correct.
So that they get in before Mayweather does.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's good.
And I think this is a good move. Not necessarily a good fight, again, for Adrian Broner, but I think it's a good move for him as far as redeeming his career. Because if he can go ahead and have an outstanding performance against Medalla this time out, then, you know, something could be said about the first fight. You know, almost could be thrown away, or else you can make a rubber match with them. But
you get a trilogy, which gets really financially rich, right?
Exactly, and then that's keeping Adrian Broner kind of marketably relevant, because right now, I mean, as things went, he knocked his dollars down. To be honest,
He did hurt his marketability, because part of his marketability was being obnoxious and who can give him his comeuppance. Well, people have seen him get his comeuppance for his obnoxious attitude to a set. You know, that's the mindset, obviously, of the HBO or the Showtime commentators after the fight. That was kind of their mindset that, well, you know, he got his comeuppance. But here's the thing he did do. He made for a very exciting fight. And one thing we know is an exciting fighter will always have a job. A guy who can make for an exciting fight at the elite level always has a job. My question and my fear in regards to Adrian Broner jumping right back in with Marcos Medalla, I would reference the Juan Manuel Lopez or Orlando Salido fight. Sometimes you run into a wrong guy, and every time you see that guy, he ends up taking years off your career. So, you know, I hope Adrian is prepared and understands what he's getting himself into again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unlike the Salido and Juan Manuel Lopez thing, you know, Adrian Broner, he got brutalized, but he didn't get knocked out.
I agree.
So one thing I could say is he took his lumps, but the guy's tough. The guy's tough enough to walk away conscious. So.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Chris Ariola's got a big feather in his cap coming up sometime in the first quarter of 14. That he's going to get a chance to go for the vacant heavyweight title.
Yeah, as we reported on here a few weeks ago, that Vitaly Klitschko is definitely looking to run for presidency of Ukraine. He's relinquished his belt. He's been made champion emeritus, which means he can come back and fight for the title whenever he chooses. No one has a problem with that because no one has beaten the man. But what it does is it opens up, I should say, the division a little bit, and it gives someone a chance to get a legitimate strap. So the fight we have right now is Chris Areola versus Bermany Stavern. We've seen that fight before. Stavern was an underdog, going in a slight underdog, and he was able to pull out the victory, knocked Areola down hard in the second round, broke his nose. And so now we get a rematch of what was a pretty good fight. And it appears that one Deontay Wilder is the gentleman waiting in the wings for the winner, but we shall see how that goes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that should be interesting. I don't see Areola and Stavern going too much different than it did in the first fight.
Well, you know, the other
Zito,
one.
I completely agree with you, just real quick, Zito, that I
yeah.
think
no,
unless Areola knocks him out, unless Areola can get to him and knock him out, then I think we're going to see basically the same thing. Maybe not as brutal, but similar to what we saw before.
Yeah. Well, the other Klitschko also has the brother has a fight coming up with Alex Lepe.
Yes.
That's supposed to be in May, I believe, isn't it?
Yes, and to be quite honest with you, at this point in time, that should be a basic routine, nonchalant defense, to be quite
mm-hmm.
honest with you. I don't see Lepe necessarily having the skills to push Vladimir. But with that said, you know, what makes Vladimir's fight interesting is he does have a pretty tremendous Achilles heel in his chin. And the thing is he's learned tremendously how to protect it. So I guess you can always see if a guy can land a lucky punch. But unless a guy lands a lucky punch, there's no one in the landscape that can out-and-out beat Vladimir at this point in time.
No.
And Lepe is not even a guy who I believe can Tony was a guy who could push him, who could make him come out of his shell a little bit. Tony Thompson, our good friend. But Lepe is not a guy who will even bring him out of his shell, not in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's what you need. You need a guy who's actually going to make him feel contact, who's actually going to really bring the contact. Because one thing Vladimir doesn't like is contact.
Tony bade Vladimir knock him out, especially that second fight, because – you know, all that was said was how devastating Klitschko looked, and he knocked Tony Thompson out, yada, yada, yada. But when you watch that fight from an objective boxing eyes, knowing the sport, knowing the game, knowing what boxing truly is, and you watch some of the shots that Tony was landing, he made Vladimir have to readjust his game. And it got to the point where Vladimir was like, I got to get him out of here because this could be trouble. He made, and that's what I mean by making him come out of his comfort zone. And not many people can do that.
Absolutely. He's too much of an athlete. He's
exactly.
A big athlete.
And you know what the funny thing is, Zito? So when he was fighting Alexander Povetkin, and when Povetkin was getting inside, making him come out of his comfort zone, he became an athlete. An athlete who could wrestle, an athlete who could clinch, an athlete who could move his feet. That athleticism against Tony, at Tony's range, it didn't work like that. He had to fight Tony. He couldn't box Tony like that. And that forced him out of his comfort zone. And when I'm watching that fight, when he stepped on the gas is after Tony started nailing him a little bit, and that's when he became significantly more aggressive than what you see out of Klitschko.
More offensive.
Much more offensive. And I thought that's when he realized, you know what, here's what I know. I'm the bigger puncher. Let me go get rid of this guy because this is not how I want this fight to go. Tony was touching him clean. And so that's what I mean. You got to pull him out of his comfort zone and in a sense where all he can do is fight, you know, just like you got to do with Floyd Mayweather. But Klitschko has one huge option. Because of the significant height and reach advantage over everybody, he can just reach out, grab you, and hold you. And until we get a ref that break, you know what I mean?
Who's going to nail him inside.
Yeah, a fighter who won't comply to the holding.
Exactly.
Correct.
And I think an interesting fight would be, and not saying this guy would win at all, but I think an interesting fight would be Vladimir against the guy we just talked about, Chris Areola.
Hey, guys, we're joined now by Mr. Edner Cherry Bomb
Cherry.
Cherry
Bomb. Cherry Bomb.
Hey, how's it going, Edner?
Everything is going pretty good. Just hanging in there, keep my head up, spend time with the family. So that's about it.
Edner, before we get started, how's the wife? How's the family? How's everyone?
The wife is doing great. Kids are doing wonderful. And everyone is doing great.
That's great. Now, Edna, you had some changes since you were on with us last. How about letting the public know about all the changes you've had?
Yeah, yes, sir. Right now, I have a new trainer, new promoter, and the trainer that I'm training with Dan Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
He also trained Winky Wright. Trained Jeff Lacey. You know, all these guys become world champion, and he also training right now, training Keith Thurman. And,
yes, he does.
So, you know, I'm very happy, and we working on things, and I'm very happy where I'm at, and I'm just learning every day. Every time I go to the gym, I'm learning something from Dan Birmingham. So, you know, he's a great trainer, and after that, then I also train with. I'm promoted by Russell Peltz out of Philly, and he's the Hall of Fame promoter, and so everything's like kind of changing, you know we're hoping for a great 2014, and hopefully we could become a world champion, then all of us will become a world champion, not just me, the team, everybody that's connected.
Great. Now you have a fight coming up very soon, don't you?
Yes. Right now, they said at the end of February, we will have something, but we don't have an actual date yet. So that's what we're looking for. We had like couple fights scheduled for January, so we'd be kind of pulled out of them. Some of the fights didn't make sense, and so we just like, you know what, we just skip those fights, and you know, it's no use fighting those fights. So, but I was looking at February, at the end of February, and you know, we're just getting ready, and you know, getting all prepared, and you know,
mm-hmm.
and February,
and where do you think you'll be fighting?
Hopefully, it'll be up in Atlantic, New Jersey. So, so that's where Russell Peltz normally does
right.
his show. Up in New Jersey area and stuff. So February will make a year since I fought. My last fight I fought was last year in February when I fought
Vincente Escobedo.
Yeah. And after that fight, we had some court issue with the old promoter with A-Count Promotion, and from there, so we try to get in the snow. We don't try to be crazy. We try to make the right move and be smart about it.
Well, I'm going to try and get a hold of Russell and get my two crew up there down into your fight, so you have some friends in the audience for sure. And let me know when it is, I'm going to try and get up there myself.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely, I will let you know, Frank.
Yeah.
Hey, Edner, this is Ty. Edner, you were coming off a very big victory in which you were underdog against former Olympian Vincente Escobedo. You took him out.
Yeah.
It was a big victory that really should have propelled you right back into the mix of things. However, the court issues kept you out of the ring for a year. Could you speak a little bit on boxing management and how it can be detrimental to fighters? For instance, we've talked about one of your losses to Tim Bradley. You were fighting that guy at 140 when you're a natural 130 pounder, so obviously the scales were tipped in his favor. And that speaks a lot of times to management. Another good friend of the show is Danny Batchelder, and that's a guy whose record you look at and you see losses, but then when you read into his management promotional situation, you see how the losses occurred, kind of like you. Could you, you know, just talk a little bit about how frustrating that could be and the things that can be done to make that process a little bit easier for the fighters?
It's not only the fighter, it's the whole team. Especially when you're moving up in a different weight class, and probably sometimes the team is not looking at a champion, you know what I'm saying? probably like they're looking at the money, like, hey, this is how much we're getting paid. We're getting paid so much that, hey, and we can't pass an offer up, and you know, and but you know, but are you looking at some of these guys that their records like they I mean they haven't fought anybody there, but when they're in a tough fight, it's like they just crumble. But it just in this sport is like one thing, you have the right management, the right team behind you. Even like if you fight 130 pounds, then they want you to fight 140. Even like if they throw good money at you, then like you know the team say, you know what? Oh, I think we won't have a chance to win, but you know what I'm saying, we will stay at this weight class. But it's like if you can't make the weight or this and that, then like you believe in your fighter, then your fighter is a strong fighter. But I think when I went up to fight Timothy Bradley and Apollo Manaji, I think it was a right move. I don't think it was a good move at all. You know, the team just said, hey, we're about to fight this thing. But, you know, and if I was smart enough, I would say, you know what, no, I don't want to, you know. But I just went along with it because when you trust somebody in a team, you know, then it's like, okay, you know, when they say something because you have to trust in them. So you say, okay, all right, you know, because, like you think they want, you know what I'm saying, they want the best for you, but at the same time, you know, you have to watch out for your career at the same time. But, you know, and you know, even the people out there, you know, just be smart, and you know, it's your career, because you know, some like it seems like it's there, like they're there for you, but at the same time, they're like they're there for your pop, but, you know.
And then let me ask you a quick another question, Terry Zito, if you don't mind, real quick. I think you'll be interested in this question too, Zito. You'll love this question. And you've been in a ring with two guys who are bigger than you. And Paulie Malignaggi, who's you know bigger than you, and Tim Bradley, who's bigger than you. Both guys are not known for their power. You yourself said Tim Bradley doesn't punch hard at all. I'd like you to talk about Paulie Malignaggi's power at all, and tell me why you think those guys don't have much power.
I think the reason why, like I think Paulie's like more of a boxer than when you a boxer runner. And you don't have that much popping. I think through the years, I think he had hand problems, but he's like more of a boxer, and you know he don't hit hard, you know, especially when you find a boxer with quick hands. Like normally like they don't have that much popping, but like they got that speed, they could box you to death. They were Timothy Bradley, like you have a boxer look strong, but they don't have hard punches behind their punches. But sometimes I don't know if it's the way they came up or whatever. But I don't know. But Timothy Bradley, he will stay busy. Now, don't get me wrong, he's a great fighter. He will stay busy. If you don't work, he will move his hands. But a power shot, hard shot, he's not a hard hitter. You know what I'm saying? He's not a hard hitter.
Is he a significantly better puncher than Paulie?
I'll say yeah. I'll say Timothy Bradley is much more harder puncher than Paulie,
But what I say, Paulie, he...
I knew you would like that, Zito. Look at you. You're going right to that.
Yeah.
I knew you would like it, Zito.
Yeah, I see Paulie, he's light on his feet, so he doesn't set down on his punches whatsoever.
He
throws his punches with a defensive mind to get out of there. So he's never set with any strength.
Zito, I always felt that way about Paulie, too. But when I saw him fight Adrian Broner, I saw him dig his feet in the canvas and rip to his body, and it was nothing. I was like, wow. Now I'm seeing the guy dig and rip.
Even when I went back to look at that, Paulie was throwing those punches with speed and the intentions of, you know, he dug in.
They were arm punches, so that.
Exactly. They were
even though he had
his
feet dug in, they were arm punches,
Yeah. So, and where I think Timmy, he just tries to hit you in the head. He slaps a little bit to the head.
I think Egner said, Timmy doesn't have sharp. He's not sharp.
Not sharp. So I think he tries to slap you, he tries to get you to the head. But I've seen him. He kind of digs to the body, I think. And you've been in the ring with him, but I think Timmy, he's more committed to body punches than the head punches to me.
Yeah, Yeah, just like what I'm saying. Like he's a guy that comes in shape, but if you don't, just like if you don't move your hand, he will move his hand. He will stay busy. You know what I'm saying? And you know, just like if y'all see that fight when I have fought him, my mindset was like, man, if I catch him with one shot, if I'd be over. That was my whole mindset. Then like when I get it inside, I won't even move my hand. Then, but to him, he would move his hand, but like he would never stand up and trade, but like he would hit him and run, and you know, he's like kind of like, you know, play the stakes, like, hey man, I don't want to get caught, but
Tim Bradley's a real tough style matchup for anybody.
Yeah, definitely,
he's
man.
He's just a really tough style matchup. That's one thing about that kid.
Yeah, yes sir.
Yeah, he's a hard out for anybody. He's tough.
Hard out for anybody.
He's busy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough anywhere.
Yeah. So, you know, as long as we're talking about Bradley, let me get your idea on this one, Edner. He's supposed to take on Manuel Marquez sometime around the around February. I'm sorry, May. How do you think that would end up?
I think Timothy Bradley beat him because like you have to look at the age, just like when he fought Marquez, last year. But I was like thinking, you know, well, Marquez will, you know, I think Marquez might beat him, but I think what Timothy Bradley did, you know, if you look at the fight when he fought that Russian guy, I think he didn't want to take that same mistake when he did the trade.
No.
But that's why he went to box Marquez every round. So I think he will do the same thing with him, and he will box him and just beat him by points. That's it.
He would do the same thing if he fought the Russian guy again.
If you look at, he's not a hard puncher because like he can't stand there and like, you know what I'm saying, like, let me just let me take this round and just trade and let me see if I can knock this guy out. He can't, like, that's not his style. Because for that Russian guy, just like when you're seeing that fight with that Russian guy, when he stood there, that Russian guy was rocking him. But
yeah.
I think if they fight again, I think he would box him. But I don't think he will, like he would stand there and fight. But now, I think, like, I think both of his fights, he will box. Because that Russian guy gave him some, after that fight, he had some problems and memory loss and all that kind of good stuff.
What people have to realize about Timmy, not only is he tough, but because he's so conditioned, Tim has some of the best legs in the game, man. That dude has the best, like, one of the best conditionings in the game. So not only it allows him to recover from the beating he took from the Russian, but at the same time, Tim is going to move. He's going to crowd you and smother you so you can't punch him. He's going to hit you, and then when you try to get your offense off, he's gone. I mean, he's a very difficult style matchup.
Yeah, yes, sir. And just like what I told most people, I don't care how strong you are, how fast you are. If you're not in great shape, in good condition, but when you get tired, that all that cuteness and all that stuff go out through the window. So if you're not in great shape, man, forget about that power shot. When you get tired, that's it. You're done. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, just like Timothy come in great shape every fight.
Mm-hmm. Edner, your next fight, you definitely plan on taking that 130. You're staying at junior light?
Yes, sir. I'm staying there at 130 pounds. And, you know, hopefully Russell Peltz will, like after this fight in February, then we'll move, try to step it up. And hopefully the team, the whole team will make the right move, and you know, we will fight the right fight, and hopefully we'll wrap a world title around our waist. And, you know, that's what I'm playing for, that's what I'm believing and trusting God for. I'm saying I want to wrap a world title around my waist one day.
In your weight class coming up this year, very soon, we have Mikey Garcia against Juan Carlos Burgos, who is a very underrated fighter. How do you see that fight going?
Well, you know, Mikey Garcia, he's a great fighter. But I think he haven't found that person who fight back and hit him back hard. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
You know, because if you don't find somebody who will, just like Broner, you know, Broner found somebody who will stay on him and rough him up. But when you don't find that person do that to you, like punch back and hey, you in a long fight. You hit me, I'll hit you back. Let's bang. Then you will really find out what that person made of. And you know, if you find that person who you can easily like punch and beat, yeah, you will look good. Just like when his who he fought last, Juan Lopez, I think.
Roman Gonzalez, he fought last, but yeah, he fought Juan Lopez right before that. Where he looked excellent.
Yeah. Then I say, you look good. You look good.
Roman Martinez.
Well, when he did, I mean, Lopez did, man. You know what I'm saying? I think Mikey Garcia will beat him because he's a better fighter. But sometimes like the underrated fighters, you know what I'm saying, they don't give him no credit or anything, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, anything can happen in boxing.
And I know Zito and I both thought Burgos beat Rocky Martinez, so we honestly, it should have been Mikey fighting Rocky, we all thought, or fighting Burgos.
Yeah.
Burgos won that fight pretty cleanly, it appeared, but it was scored a draw. And I think Burgos presents a better matchup because I think he's a more credible fighter. He just doesn't have, you know, he's slow of hand and foot, though. That's his problem.
More consistent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, sir.
Once you finish up this this fight in February, when do you think you get back in the ring? Or when would you? I know how fast you want to get back in the ring, but when do you think Russell will get you back in up there?
Hopefully soon. I'm hoping because man, I took a long year, very much a long year off. You know, hopefully pretty soon. But I hate taking long times off from the sport because like you have to try to take the ring rust off, try to get back into it, and you know what I'm saying? You could do all of the training, but when you go and fight in front of people and try to get used to the crowd, you know. So that's what we're doing right now. This first fight, you know, get the buzz off and you know get used to the crowd. But you know what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean anything. But whatever it is, you know what I'm saying, I'm ready, man.
Yeah. Even though you had a year off, I would assume one thing with Dan Birmingham's camp, you're going to be getting some really, really quality sparring out of the match.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Let's touch on that for a minute, Edner. Now, you've had a year off. How are you going to prepare for this, and how are you preparing for this next fight,
right,
mentally and physically?
Right now, running, you know what I'm saying? You know, always. Every time I go in the ring, I always come in shape, always. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so now with my new trainer, we try to work on some things like boxing and punching, but not stand there. You know what I'm saying? You know, you have some fight you just want to go in and just bang, bang every round, whatever. But, you know, mm-hmm. you know we want to be there. You know, we want to fight our spots, fighting spots. You know what I'm saying? Bang and move, fight and move, box. You know what I'm saying? You know, mm-hmm. you know, we don't want to go in the first round, bing, bing, just don't punch it, but we want to be smart every round. We want to win every, you know, we try to be smart fighting. But we don't want to be just going in there just throwing punches to throw punches. We want to be smart. Even like, you can see Keith Thurman, how Dan Birmingham changed him. You know, Keith Thurman, you know, going there, he's so, you know what I'm saying, because Keith Thurman was going, you know, going there and just knock you out. You know what I'm saying, type of thing. But now, mm-hmm. Dan Birmingham's slowing down. Now he's seen more. And looking much more better. So, you know.
Dan's done great work with Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman. He's done great work with him. He really has.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. He has a fighting off that jab. Beautiful.
Yeah,
oh,
yes,
my God.
Yes, sir. You know,
Thurman really impressed me against Sota Karas.
Yeah.
I mean, because you talk, and Edgar, you spoke on this, you know, until you fight a guy who's going to hit you back, and Sota Karas is the guy who's going to hit you back.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it proved that you know, Dan Birmingham has given Keith Thurman a toolbox, you know.
Yeah.
And now with you being a veteran in the game and you having knowledge gained, talk a little bit about having that extra mental aspect of someone as knowledgeable as Dan Birmingham in your corner.
Man, what a great trainer. I mean, you have a lot of trainers around the world. Anyone could be a trainer. Anybody. I could go in and be a trainer. I could go in and, hey, don't say what they want to say, hey, just go to do that. But when you have a teacher, I'm saying, now you have a teacher and a trainer now, but when you have a teacher just to teach you, I'm saying that's what Dan Birmingham, he's like a teacher, you know what I'm saying? You know, when he teaches me or Keith Thurman, whoever it is, when he teaches and when it's time to fight, now all that teaching is coming out. You know what I'm saying? You know, like you see the experience, you know what I'm saying? So that's why Dan Birmingham, like I think he was like two times trainer of the year, something like that, with him and Winkin, Jeff Lacy, Winkin Wright. He was the trainer of the year because when I went to him, the things that he telling me, I was like, man, when he was like teaching, I said, man, that's what I need. I need somebody to teach me, like, hey, Heather, this is what you're doing. Let's work on this. But that's the type of trainer that Dan Birmingham is. He's a teacher.
Now, Edner, you're a veteran in the game. A lot of times, veterans go to new trainers, and it doesn't work out well because veterans are used to their old habits. Do you have any fear of that?
Yes, sort of. Like, just like I told Dan, I was like, you know, hey, I want to get out of my old habit. Like, you know what I'm saying, like, I said, Dan, whatever you teach me, you know, like Dan said, he's not changing a lot, but he's tweaking stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's all. He's not changing anything. He's not making a different fighter, but he's just like tweaking. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to take nothing away but tweaking. And you know, what fighters going through different trainers, and you know, trainers. Try to transform like to a whole nother fighter, which is the wrong thing. I'm saying what a trainer would ever do to a fighter, try to train him, try to change him to another fighter. That's wrong. But, you know, with Dan, he said, hey, but we only tweaking, that's all. We just took some things here and there, tweak here, and, you know, but, you know, like, if it's like any little habits that you do, then, you know, we will fix it. If you a banger, I'm saying we will fix it. When you will be, like, there's certain times you will bang, and certain times you won't bang. You get what I'm saying? You mix it up. So, you know, that's all.
Whatever, you've come a long way with you. I can remember, 5 years ago, when we first met at the Ella Clark Pavilion. Over there in Tampa. Where you did a great job. Unfortunately,
sir.
You weren't getting a whole lot of work out of people that were there. But now you're with a good trainer and a definitely good management, and we're looking to see that name at the top rank now.
Yes, sir. And you know, right now, I haven't even gave up. Right now, I'm still in the game. Right now, what I told my team, Since I've been in this sport, I never put myself in that position where, like right now, if you look at me, I don't even look like a boxer. You get what I'm saying? Because I never put myself like, you know, you all punched up. You know what I'm saying? I'm still fresh. You know what I'm saying? I'm still fresh. I've been doing it for 12 years. Then you have guys that are doing it for a couple years, and they look all beat up. You know what I'm saying? So I'm so happy that I haven't let myself get to that. So now I'm in a place that, you know, is continuing to keep my body in shape, strong, going to eat healthy, and you know, which I don't drink, I don't party, I don't do anything like that. But you know, that's what keeping me going.
Mm-hmm. That and the fact that you're a good family man, and when your kids have games, and you know, I know I've seen you on the sideline. I've heard you yell. You've taken care of Elizabeth when she wasn't doing well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a really tremendous. You had a tremendous pressure on you last year.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a good thing that you weren't in the ring, because there were so many things that were on your mind outside the ring that you can really make up for it this year.
Yeah. So, and if you really look at it, it was last year and the year before that. It was the year. Let me see, the year before that, my daughter had open heart surgery. Then this year, I mean, you know, last year, you know, my wife had the heart thing to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was a rough year. And it's just like everything with the motor and this and that. And it's like it been rough, man.
Yeah, well, now with all that behind you and Elizabeth being in your corner again, and all the kids doing very well in school and in athletics, I think the pressure won't be on you, and I think you'll enjoy it more, and you'll be out there doing a hell of a lot better fighting than you ever did.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Definitely, man. You know, that's what I'm looking for this year. 2014, this is a whole brand new year. You know what I'm saying? We looking for better, and we looking for blessings, and you know what I'm saying? Us, staying focused this year.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I told my wife, I want to be a better husband this year. I want to be a better father, a better friend, a better mentor. Whatever it is, that's what I want to be. That's the person I want to be this year.
Mm-hmm.
Better than yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Better than last year.
Well, I'll give you a call later on in the week, and.
Okay.
We'll talk about how to contact the people up in Atlantic City and get the guys in there for their press credentials. But I want to thank you for taking this much time away from your family on a Saturday night. I know everything is gets jumbled up during the week, and Saturdays are a day that you like to spend with your family, Saturday and Sunday. And we really appreciate you taking the time to spend it with us.
Okay, anytime, Frank, anytime, man, you know what I'm saying? You know, I have to give back to the community, because since day one, when I first started my career, people was there pushing me, you know what I'm saying? People was there motivating me. So now it's time for me, you know, to get that time back, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, whatever people do for you, you know what I'm saying, you have to return it back, you know what I'm saying? You know, but, you know, all that was love, man, you know, even a couple years. You know, like, you know what I'm saying, like y'all being put me on the radio, and y'all call me, and you know what I'm saying, I always want to get that time back to y'all, and you know, just want to, you know, let my voice be heard. You know, probably somebody out there wants to hear something more. You know what I'm saying, some good motivation, and you know, anything I could do to for somebody hear something. You know what I'm saying, like, that'd be
mm-hmm.
great.
Yeah, well, we just did the numbers this morning before we came on the air, and we are now at 247,000 listeners worldwide, and it's guys like you that have helped us get there, and friends that have been with us for all these years, and have done a great job in and out of the ring.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, we want to thank you again. Guys, you got any final questions for our guest here?
No, thank you very much, Edna. We look forward to talking to you in the near future. Definitely.
Okay, well, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
But you know, you got your number one fan here. Well, your number one fan at the house, but your number one fan on the west coast of Florida is right here, and we'll be calling you all the time.
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you very much. You know, I really appreciate it.
Okay. Good luck with your family and your career, Edna.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Edna. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Yes, sir.
All right. That was Edna Cherry. Edna Cherry Bomb Cherry, who will be fighting in February up in Atlantic City. And as soon as we get the card down, we will make the announcement here, and we may even see you there. You know, it's one thing that makes everybody happy, especially the fighters, is seeing friendly faces in the ring, from the ring, I should say. So we'll get keep you updated on that. Where are we going to go with this one?
Well, can we take a quick segue, if you don't mind? I like to take
a quick
segue.
Go for it.
Just because I think it's pretty interesting that, that boxing, as I've said several times, and as we all very well know, has been relegated to the back pages of the, you know, the sports section. Yet, I think it's funny that every huge sporting event that has tremendous intensity to it is compared to a heavyweight fight. I just always thought that allegorically, you know, was funny. But speaking of that, we witnessed a heavyweight fight last week in the NFL between the New Orleans Saints and the Philadelphia Eagles. And, Butch, I want to congratulate you. Though the Eagles lost, they had a tremendous season. They put up a fight. They played a better team and lost a very winnable game. I think the future looks bright, very bright for your gangrene team. I just wanted to say that. And while I'm saying that, I also want to say what happened to the Kansas City Chiefs last week. What happened? Isn't that Zito's, our friend Zito's favorite team? And
thank you, man.
I would be remiss when we speak of heavyweight fights if I didn't look at the Kansas City Chiefs Indianapolis Colts game, much like the John Tate Mike Weaver fight many years ago, where John Tate had dominated Mike Weaver for basically 12 rounds, and Mike Weaver landed a haymaker punch in the last round to win the heavyweight title. Zito, do you see some similarities in that fight and the Kansas City Chiefs' devastating loss to the Indianapolis Colts? Just curious, sir.
I mean, I'm a football fan right now. I'm enjoying the playoffs that's currently going on. Football season, emotionally, is over for me. So.
But as our technical expert, I'd like you to speak a little bit about that game last week.
a lot of the defense got hurt within the first half. So, I mean, some things were happening. Not to give excuses. I mean things like that happen. But I mean, we're looking in a positive direction.
All right, Zito, I just have one more question in regards to that. I remember talking to you at halftime. For those that don't know, Zito is actually my brother, so I talk to him on a regular basis. But I remember talking to you at halftime, and you hanging up. And before you hanging up, you said, "Let me go enjoy the rest of this game." How did that work out for you? Did you enjoy the rest of the game? Just curious.
I mean, not really. My wife told me not to turn it on and watch it because my team was started losing, and she seemed to be a prophet that day.
Do you remember what I said to you before I hung up?
What's that?
I said something about just got to watch out for the comeback.
Well, things like that happen. Sorry, Steelers, for what happened.
Wow.
Sorry, that's all. Hope things join us.
Hey, guys, we're joined by
tough year, us of the 6 Super Bowl rings, yes.
We're joined by Aaron Jaco, who was one of the founding fathers of this program, along with Bob and his brother back many, many moons ago. And, Aaron, I just want to tell you that we checked the numbers this morning, and we're at 247,000 listeners worldwide with
awesome.
Each of our shows.
Yeah, so. It's crazy to think that, you know, to this day. It's, whenever you call me right away, I really still think boxing buddies. So, yeah, you know what? It's it was funny. The other night I had my uppercut party shutting down my old gym and getting ready to introduce the new one. So being in my old gym, the one I just shut down for 3.5 years, the night of the party where we kind of, you know, just had a send-off, I wore Bobby's hat in there, and it was just a good feeling to know that he was still with me to wear that hat that night. So it still sits on top of, like, my mantle in my house, and just on special occasions, I always wear that hat.
Excellent. I really appreciate that. Well, tell us, since last time you were on, you had a fight, and you were successful.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
It was a good fight. I mean, the guy was tough. You know, people don't understand just because you got a record that doesn't shine doesn't mean you're not a tough guy. You know, when some of these guys go around fighting everybody and anybody at any time, you know, these guys end up, you know, getting getting their rounds in against some really tough dudes. So they come to fight, and they, you know, this kid come to fight, but I was able to outbox him. The truth is, too, is what I've always said is, once I warm up, you're not going to outwork me. And even Nate Campbell was ringside, and he was like, this kid's a great fighter, but Jake was just going to take this fight for him because I was just in great shape. I mean, I just kept going and going and going. So I threw so many punches. But, yeah, it was just good to get back in that win column and also know that you can still do it, you know. It's the boxing is a tough game, and people don't understand that. You think you're just getting there and throw hands, but there's so much that goes into it, you know, physically and, you know, even psychologically. It's just a hard game.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, this is Vito. How you doing?
Good. How you been?
I've been fine. Last time we talked, you were seeking a matchup against one Badu Jack. Are those still your intentions?
You know what? I've been getting some other calls, and they just called me to fight, and it was actually too soon. Top Rank called me again. They wanted me to fight January 25th in New York against, gosh, I forget his name. He's 19-0. And I looked him up, and I told him, I said, you know what? I go, I did you guys a favor by fighting Pavlik on less than a 30-day notice. I'm like, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not saying I don't appreciate the offer, but I just think me taking fights that are good money paydays with under a 30-day notice, it's not fair to me, but most of all, it's not fair to my daughter and my family and my business and my friends. And, you know, I can give anybody a run for the money. But give me the 8 weeks or 9 weeks or even 10 weeks that I want. Not this, you know, 25-day stuff. So I told Top Rank, I said, I did you all one favor fighting Pavlik on such a short notice, and I just won't do it again. I don't care what the record is or even what the money is because I got to be alive. You know, I got a six-year-old daughter that still wants a lot of shoes. Yeah, so, hey, it is what it is.
Straight up.
So tell us about the new gym.
Oh, the new gym's awesome. I mean, you come in. The old gym, the colors we always ran with were kind of like a black and red, and the black and red is still there, but I decided to do a whole front room with floors, softer colors. Then we got a massage room, and then in the back where all the boxing goes on, it's just chaotic. You walk back there, and it's like it looks like you got punched in the face by a box of Crayola crayons because it's just colorful and the energy's high. So the workouts have been so intense, and it's just – it's a great place to be in, man. We're really happy, and the workouts are showing. People are getting their butts kicked, and they can't – they didn't think I could take it to another level, and we have. So it's just – it's nice to see the feedback. But people absolutely love the gym. It's, you know, it's only two buildings over from the White Buffalo right off McIntosh, so we're on more of a major road. And actually now it looks like that we're going to be headed to Lakewood Ranch, and, you know, hopefully it looks like less than 6 months.
Wow. Would that be a second gym, or are you going to move this one?
No,
there?
We're going to start. It looks like we'll start franchising them a little bit and playing with them a little bit and having some fun. So
nice.
That'll be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell us, you do weight training, you do boxing. I've noticed from your video you have a room full of, looks like heavy bags, maybe 20, 25 bags.
Yeah, we got actually 30 bags are hanging. Then we have, you know, we have the athletic turf again. We have weight training up front. We have the cardio equipment up front. I mean, it's, you know, it's not a gym like you would walk into like a Lifestyles or, you know, something like that, but it's better. It's you know, using body weight exercises and plyometrics and the foundation of boxing to get a killer workout, which is, you know, the best workout in the world. There's no athlete that's a better in-shape athlete than a professional fighter. I always tell people, because people look at me and go, you're in fight shape right now. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, just because I'm ripped or got a six-pack doesn't mean you're in fight shape, because I say there's bad shape, there's okay shape, there's good shape, there's great shape, but then there's fight shape, and fight shape is a whole other level.
And when you when people come in, do you have a membership that they take, or do you just do?
We have all types.
We
do memberships. We do private training. We do group training. We basically try to cater to everybody and any cost that they want to endure coming to the gym. You know, we try not to bust their bank, but you know, if they want a private training workout, then you'll pay a little bit more. You'll get me on a private session. If you want a group training, you step with amongst others. And if you want to do a ton of classes, we'll give you a good rate, but you're also going to be in there with, you know, 30 to 40 other people at a time. So nothing's changed in that aspect, and it seems to work the best. And, and that's what we do. So we try to cater to everybody.
Mm-hmm. You know, are you training Golden Gloves, or is that mostly Adam?
That's mostly Adam. Adam's done really well. I mean, he's got a couple fighters he's working with now. He's got a big heavyweight who was, I may have told you all before, he was a football player at Bowling Green. So we always goof with him and tell him that we think he'd probably knock out Seth Mitchell, you know, pretty fast. You know, Seth Mitchell, I think, was over at Michigan State. But Big Mike, he hits pretty hard, you know. So Big Mike said the other day, he goes, he got a job offer on the other side of the Florida coast. And I said, bro, you don't want to go yet. I go, you got your whole life to go after that job. I go, you got a good 15 years left to become a great fighter if that's what you want, you know. This job can wait. Fighting can't. If you walk away now for a few years, you're going to come back and find that the sport has already left you. It's hard to walk away. You know, I walked away for 6 years, and I found out real quick that it's not the same. I mean, I walked away for 6 years, had one fight that lasted 2 minutes, and the next thing I know, I was in the ring with Pavlik. And to know that you hadn't fought in 6 years, and here you are now in the ring with Pavlik, I mean, that was just – you know, you just can't believe how hard people hit and how much the game has even left you, and the rustiness that's there, and also, you know, the butterflies that are back. I mean, just leaving the game for too long is not a good idea if anybody wants to, you know, really make a great career out of this stuff.
Yeah, we just talked
to get out of shape.
A fighter who was been trying to keep in shape. His last fight was back February of last year. And he was just, just explaining how he was trying to keep himself up. Edner Cherry's now gone with Dan Birmingham and a different management team, and so he's looking to get back in at the end of February.
Right.
He's going to get back in the ring up in Atlantic City.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, boxing is a hard game for anybody. I mean, the fight game in general. I mean, look at what, you know, people have to go through to get just to make it to that fight that night, and look at the injuries that happened with the sport. I mean, look at what happened to Anderson Silva a couple of weeks ago. I mean,
it's just a
tough sport. I mean, it's hard enough to make it to the fight and deal. You're dealing with injuries there and get cut up or beat up in sparring, and make it to the fight, then to deal with the psychological side of, you know. Trust me, because before you go in a fight, you start thinking of all the stupid things you may have done. You know, oh, I didn't run this day, or I had a couple beers that night, or I was with my girlfriend a week ago like an idiot. Whatever it may be, those things start to play in your head, and then that's it, you know. If you start second-guessing yourself, you're going to go down, you know, and it just happens.
You know what, because no matter how good a fighter may look at the weigh-in and how confident he may look coming into the ring, he can't lie to himself.
Right.
You can't lie to yourself. And that's where the truth is exposed. And if you didn't do that road work you were supposed to do, it takes away from your mental perpetuity. It really does. You can't sit in the ring and say, you know what, I'm ready for this guy, when you know in your heart of hearts you're not. So,
you can't lie to your opponent.
Right. Well, you know what's funny, Butch, is back when I was an amateur, I had a girlfriend. And she breaks up with me before I'm fighting Jeff Lacey's brother, Kenneth, in the Sunshine State Games for the championship. And she said, I hope you get your ass kicked. And I'll never forget it. Because you believe that?
What the hell?
And I was like, I made sure I won that fight because I couldn't give that ex-girlfriend her satisfaction. I'm like, no way.
You have to cheat on her or something.
No,
Jesus.
Yeah. So, Butch, this is a great story. I'm dating this girl recently. You'd met her for a few years. So... We, you know, relationships happen. We break up. She tells me, she goes, I hope you get knocked out. And this last fight I was just in. And I'm like, I can't believe this happened to me twice. I'm like, what kind of girls am I dating, right? So, Butch, that guy hit me so hard in the fourth round. I think a lot of nights it made it drop me on my face. Now, I've never been KO'd while I was sleeping. But that guy hit me hard, and he rocks me. And the whole time in my head, I'm like, don't give her satisfaction. Don't give her satisfaction.
Great.
But fourth round, I come back and I'm kicking the crap out of him. And the fifth round, I stop him. I'm like, no way. So, you know what? I got a hot great girl now, and she's really cool. She supports me on everything I do. She helped me build this gym, and if I tell you this, she better not tell me to get knocked out of my fight ever, because then I think it's just girls have issues. I might have to freaking go for a man. I mean, I don't want to say that over the radio, but there's just something wrong with what is wrong with girls these days that want you to get your ass kicked. That's messed up.
Well, you
see
these kind of girls, you're going to be the champion soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
no,
you know,
crazy.
Maybe you want to just break up with a girl before the fight, right before the fight, to get back with her after, because apparently you just sparking something to these ladies. Jesus.
Man, I tell you,
damn.
That's the last thing you want to hear before you go in the ring. You're like, oh, God, thank you for that. You know, just
whatever motivation it takes.
Well, you know what's even funnier is my brother, Butch, for the first time, was not in my corner that night. He had gone up to Boston. So he's got two of his clients who are friends outside of the ring, you know, in the crowd, on the phone. They're both on the phone with him on two different lines. My brother says, yeah, the one is saying, ooh, your brother took some hellacious shots that round. The other one is going, oh, your brother's doing fine. Your brother's helping. So he didn't even know really what's going on.
Wow.
You know, he's just like, he was so confused. One guy's telling him I'm taking some serious shots. The other one's saying I'm handling this guy easy. And then finally, the fifth round, when I stopped him, you know, they go, okay, your brother just stopped him. He's like, whew, you guys have me at more edge than I would have been if I was there watching the fight, you know? So,
you know, maybe that explains why some of the judges' cards are the way they are.
Right. Well, you know what? I mean, let's face it. Some of those, I mean, Ray Charles could watch fights better and give a better, you know, opinion of who really won the fight in some of those fights. I mean, some of those fights are just ridiculous. I mean, that's something, let's face it, that will never die in the sport. Because you're just going to always have some of them crooked judges. It's just...
Right.
It's sad, you know, and it's sad because if judges only knew how hard fighters work to prepare for a fight, if a fighter wins the fight, I don't care who he's fighting or who's backing him, and he should be awarded that fight. I mean, come on, man. He put his life on the line just like the other guy, you know, just because he doesn't have the financial back or somebody backing him. The sport's got to be cleaned up and regulated. It's just, it's gotten so bad that when you start remembering a couple of judges' names just because of their past, you know, cause of what the scores they gave on a fight. I mean, that's awful. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I can't remember the last time we saw, you know, when was the last one we saw where it was just so bad? I mean, you know, let's face it, Timothy Bradley and Pacquiao, I remember we all left that night in the 11th round.
Yeah,
you know?
I left before the decision. I did leave before the decision. I did.
Right. So, and I mean, they even made a joke about it at the ESPYs. I mean, they're like, if you think Timothy Bradley won that fight, you know, just, and he didn't. But it's just too bad that kind of stuff happens in the sport. So,
and you know, the sad thing is there was a tremendous fervor over it because it happened to Pacquiao. But it happens to several guys who don't have the money or the cachet that Pacquiao has. And that's what's even worse. Nobody makes a stink when it happens to those guys.
Listen,
well,
I'm getting, you know, the
Manny's
whole
about
Pacquiao.
$2 million poorer because the IRS is going to come take it.
Well, and here's the problem here, okay? I'm a boxer. I do it all on my own. Most of the time I train myself. I manage myself. I answer my own calls. I deal with the IRS on my own. I do my own taxes. When Pacquiao, all he has to do is train, and obviously he wants to be, you know, the governor or whatever of his homeland, but of the Philippines, why is it that Michael Conte or whatever his name is, why can't he get Pacquiao's money straight? I mean, that's his one job. You know what I mean?
That's it.
That's his one job.
Right.
I mean, what is he doing that he messed up Pacquiao like that the IRS has come knocking now? I mean, you can't mess that up. That wasn't that your job? You like the financial guy or the advisor, whatever you may be? I mean, come on. When you got the money that Pacquiao has and you got these people who are supposedly taking care of the other side for you, then they're not doing their job right.
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
They're doing their job right. They're skimming off the top.
Right.
Well, exactly.
Where it goes.
But, you know, these fighters making this big-time money and they're all going broke. I mean, it's just that's ridiculous because the money they've all fighting for, you know, that's what all fighters dream of is someday getting those paychecks like that.
Right.
I
remember, I don't know if you saw, there was a reality TV show that Mayweather was doing with his girlfriend last night, and my grandson just happened to mention it today as we were practicing, that she had a 26-carat ring on, and he was He opened a duffel bag and he had $1 million in cash in it. I mean,
you know what? I got to say this though, Mayweather, as much as he flaunts the money, and I think it's part of
smart
his persona.
As shit, though, man.
Exactly. He's still smart. He's going to put his money away. He's getting into the whole promotion side. He's got other business ventures. The only thing I worry about, and it's not like I'm sitting here saying I like Mayweather or any of these fighters, you know. Mayweather, I think, likes to put on a show and get people riled up. He probably ain't the worst guy in the world. He's a trash talker. I'm a trash talker. Boxers kind of are. We walk with a swagger. We talk a lot of trash. We're just kind of good at it. It's naturally in us. We fight with our hands, our mouth. That's just the way we are. His problem is carrying that stupid bag around, he's going to get some idiots. And
yep.
I'm sorry, I don't care how big your bodyguards are. They can't dodge bullets. They can't ricochet bullets. And somebody's
right.
going to know that Mayweather's at a certain spot at a certain time with that double bag of $1 million, and somebody's going to come in with a Uzi, and they're going to try to make a quick getaway. And that's where
right.
he's just messing up too much carrying that kind of money. I mean, it's ridiculous.
One thing Mayweather did, whether you like him or not, and you know, Aaron, we kind of touched on it. He pulled away from the promotional companies and he branded himself. You know,
right.
and I remember when the big fervor for he and Pacquiao to fight was coming up. One of the things that he said, you know, because he throws out taunts and he says a lot of things. You got to remember,
right.
Mayweather was an Aram fighter, and Aram said Mayweather was a coward, and that's part of the reason why Mayweather won't deal with Aram. But one of the things he said is, when I get paid $20 million, I get paid $20 million. So
right.
when Pacquiao gets a check for $20 million, he goes, he makes about six. And,
right.
and he talked about Bob Arum, and he talked about Michael Kynes. And then all of a sudden, you know, years later, to see these issues with Pacquiao's finances,
right.
and having heard Mayweather speak on that years ago, it makes you realize that, you know what, Mayweather had insight into the dealings of Bob Arum. Oscar De La Hoya had insight into the dealings of Bob Arum. When they got to the level Manny did, they left.
Yeah.
Manny didn't leave. And now Manny finds
right.
himself in this financial situation. So though
yeah.
Michael Kynes, to me, it falls flatly on his shoulders, like you said.
Yeah.
And I think one
apparently
big
the writing has been on the wall for a while, though.
I think one big benefit that Floyd Mayweather had, though, was the boxing family.
Agreed.
Well, and I
father,
say that to everybody,
yeah,
that when you're a second-generation fighter, you understand the game just a little bit better.
Exactly.
And I've never made that big payday or never made a ton of money, but I've had promoters call me all the time now, especially when you win, because they want you to fight their guys on 19-0 or top-ranked calls, and they always start at $10,000. And I'm always like, you think $10,000 is a lot of money to me? I'm like, $10,000 is not worth it to me. I'm like, that's not a lot of money. I'm like, and I'm not trying to disrespect you, but you might get a fighter who has no other means of an income. I go, but I know the game too. And I go, and also when you offer some of this money to me, that's what my father made in 1985.
Wow.
Like, in 1985, my father, these guys who are getting still $400 for a four-round fight when they're turning their pro debut, that's what my father was getting in 1985 for making his pro debut. So it's just ridiculous that look how many years, that we're almost 30 years later, and they're still giving $400 fights for guys making their debut for a four-rounder. I mean,
and it's not like we haven't had 30 years worth of inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Exactly. Listen, I went to the freaking Thunder on the Bay today, and I got two Bud Lights, and it was $10.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay, like, are you kidding me? I'm like, I mean, can I at least have a super hot chick serve it to me? Got some chick flanker with a big old bear with his beard dipping in it. I mean, his beard is in my beard, and I'm paying $10 for this. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean,
that's
ridiculous.
A super hot chick will come over, serve you the beer, and say, I hope in your next fight you get your ass kicked.
Exactly. You're going to lose. You're drinking too much. Oh, man. I tell you.
Guys, you don't know, the Thunder of the Bay is a for the West Coast, is like Bike Week over in the East Coast. But our friend here happened to do a Facebook thing today with a very renowned biker. Would you like
Paul,
to talk about
Paul
that?
Paul Tuttle Sr. He was there.
Great.
And I'm like, yo, what's up? So... You know what, though? I like Paul Tuttle and Junior because they fight like me and my brother. They love each other to death, but you can't put 2 leaders under one roof because they'll duke it out. So they remind me of me and my brother. We need our own reality show because to this day, people always ask me, like, you two on good terms? I'm like, man, we're brothers, but we're both leaders. That's why we can't share gym. But his gym is literally a half a mile from mine now. You know? So
right,
it's a classic.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, we're a half a mile apart, and both gyms rock, and people are like, you two are ridiculous. So, like, why won't y'all team up and just build the most humongous gym ever? I'm like, 2 liters on one roof, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, it was cool to meet him, you know. And he was a nice guy. He really was.
Right.
You know, he greeted everybody and talked to everybody. So that was cool for them to get him there. I didn't know he was going to be there. That was kind of awesome.
Yeah, and then putting it on Facebook makes you even a bigger fan of everybody in the world, except for the fact that you didn't spell his name right.
And I said that. I'm like, I don't think I spelled his name right. You know, right away I thought of Tuttle Street here in Florida, Bush. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Hey, listen,
he spelled it wrong on Facebook, but then you wanted to make sure that he spelled it wrong for 247,000 listeners, too. Hey,
that's right.
Real good,
Bush. Hey, Bush, listen, I got to tell you this, though. There's always one excuse when I forget a client's name. If I've met them one time and they're back in my gym, and I'm always like, listen, I was a boxer. I got hit a few times. It's okay. You know, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'll never forget your face, but I'm just bad with names. But I'm actually a good speller. But the minute I put his name on, the first comment I put was, I don't think I spelled his name right. And somebody put, I think this is how you spell him. I'm like, yeah, I thought so. But I like that show. And my brother loves that show. So I had to send that picture to my brother. My brother put, is that fake? I'm like, no, that's real. I guarantee you my brother was jealous.
Is that fake?
Yeah,
like you went and took a picture next to the big cardboard cutout.
Right, exactly. Big, yeah, I mean, come on. Oh, man.
No, I'm not 15. That's real.
Yeah.
So, Adam, you're going to let me know when your next fight is and where it's going to be so we can make sure that everybody knows that. And I'll be coming down with the boys to the gym.
Awesome.
Yeah, they want to train with you. They want to spar with you. I don't want to spar with you because I've seen you. They will, and I'll have to work out with them so that I get more weight off like you did the last time.
Good. Well, that sounds good, man. I know them boys are getting big, and, you know, we get all athletes in there. The truth is every time football players from high schools walk in, I'm always like, oh, God, I'm like, you're going to get sick. And they go, no, we play football. I'm like, oh, you're definitely going to get sick now. And sure enough, they're all always barfing out back, you know?
Yep.
So I always make sure they get it in the grass. I had one kid barf up macaroni and cheese one day between cars in a parking lot. I made him wash it down with a 5-gallon bucket of water.
Yeah.
Like, no way, bro. No way. I'm like, first off, macaroni and cheese before you work out, it looks like you chewed it. The shells all come out perfectly.
That's great.
Yeah. Hey, it's been good talking to y'all. Butch, give me a call, and we'll talk too, man.
All right, thanks.
Hey, you guys, take care.
Everybody.
All right,
take care,
Maria.
All right, thanks.
All right, see you.
Well, guys, we're just about at the end of our rope here. I extended it over an extra 25 minutes so we could get out of it because he was out all day and I wasn't able to get a hold of him. But, Z, you want to lead us out?
Sure do. I first want to say I'm glad to be back for this new year. I want to thank you, Butch, and I also want to thank you, Ty. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob, and if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Happy New Year, everyone. Please live it safe. Ty?
Yeah, it's definitely great to be back this new year. We look forward to another big year in boxing. We hope to bring you all the best as far as guests and as far as knowledge and information on the sport. I want to thank Edner Cherry Bomb Cherry for joining us, as well as Fighting Words Luminary, Aaron Jaco. We look forward to talking to both guys in the near future. Everybody, have a good week. Bob is our co-pilot. See you next Saturday.
We want to thank everybody for listening. We also want to send our deepest sympathy out to the family of Larry Middleton, former heavyweight champion, who fought Jerry Quarry, Ron Lytle, and Jimmy Alice passed away this morning. And the renowned Daily News columnist Bill Conlon, who had been with the Daily News for over 40 years and had covered every sport there was. these programs, ladies and gentlemen. These programs are brought to you each and every week.
Did you say Bill Collins passed?
Yeah, Bill Conlon passed this morning.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was a big, big, excuse me. I'm in the Philadelphia area, for those that don't know, huge fan of Bill Collins, sports writer, and also television personality as well with the Daily News Live. Wow.
Right.
Sorry to hear that.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, he had retired down here to Clearwater.
Wow.
We used to sit together at the Bucks games and at the Outback Bowl games and the Senior Bowl games. What a treasure of stories he could tell.
Yeah.
Just off the top of his head. He was, the latter part of his years were spent more in hibernation because of some adverse publicity. But all I can talk about is the guy was a tremendous writer. He was a tremendous historian, and he was a good friend.
You know, he's a legend in the Philadelphia area, and he will be there.
Yes, he was. Yep. These programs are brought to you each and every week in grateful appreciation of men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see the guys or one of the girls, just walk up and say thank you. It means the world to all of us. These programs are also dedicated in memory of those who have lost their lives. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogel, Longbow Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford of the Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Uniform Division, Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PD, Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, and Sergeant Mike Wilson of the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this time, at some time, we will be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine softly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your family always in the hollow of his hands.
Wait a minute.